All right, how's it going, guys? This is Derek Bujan from Bujan Goaltending. This is the first installment of the Bujan Goaltending Roundtable. I'm joined with professional goalie Jamie Phillips. He's spent 3 years in the AHL, played a little bit overseas, also in the East Coast League. I'm also here with Mike Albanese, who's been a junior goalie coach in Ontario for the past 7 years. We took some questions off Instagram, so thank you for everybody who asked questions. We had some really good ones, so we're going to tackle some of those today. Hopefully everybody's staying safe with the COVID-19 and we can all get through this and things can get back to normal. So if you guys want to say anything to start, then otherwise we can get right into these questions.
No, we can get right into it. I'm glad. Hopefully we do this more often.
Let's do it. All right. So the first question we're going to tackle was a great one. We actually had quite a few kind of on this line. This came from Joshua Svensson. Only played in 3 games this season. Advice for landing on a junior team without a resume. So this question was a little bit vague, so I reached out to Josh, and I just wanted to get a little bit more information. So Josh is the 2002 birth year, so he's 17 years old. He played high school hockey, and he was looking to play junior B in Ontario. So Albert, you want to maybe tackle this first part of this?
Yeah, well, right off the bat, you're going to be up against it because you're competing with guys who have been playing consistently. You're going to assume have had a full season under their belt before this season where you only played 3 games. So you're going to have to do something to stand out, whether that's, you know, be the first in line at every drill, you know, just go up as hard as you can, work on your puck handling because that's a great separator skill. As soon as goalie coaches see somebody that can handle the puck well and be an asset back there, it's an automatic plus. So off the bat, I would say those two things right there.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. Did he tell you why he only played 3 games?
No, I didn't. I didn't get that information.
Okay, I guess it's different if you only played 3 games for, and that's because you were injured, or you only played 3 games because you were a backup. Those are different situations. But like Albo said, yeah, you got to do something that makes you stand out. It's also not impossible. I mean, I would say network as much as you can, because if there's someone in your corner that's fighting for you and believes in your abilities, they'll look past the fact that you played 3 games. I mean, my first year junior, I was 16 in junior B, I played 9 games and I was still able to transition into junior A just because I was fortunate and got an opportunity with a team. So I would say use all the networking tools you have to try out for the teams that you have the best chance of making.
Yeah, I think you guys both hit the nail on the head. At the end of the day, you're going to have to kind of go out and you're going to have to perform. So depending on what league you're looking to play in, like if your goal is to play Junior B, say in Ontario, in the Greater Ontario Junior League, it's a very strong league. So you're going to have to do some research. You're going to have to see which teams are looking for goalies, number one. Which teams are willing to take an American import, which is a big one. There's rules around being an American import in the amount that teams are allowed to take. So do your homework. And then you'll hit the nail on the head. You're going to have to go to camp and you're going to have to stand out. The fact that you played only 3 games, I don't know if that will really hinder too much, because if you show up to camp and you perform, I think that's going to outweigh. The eye test is always going to outweigh kind of the history. The history is always there, but the eye test for a goalie coach is definitely kind of more important than the history. The other thing too is, most teams will have a goalie coach listed on their website. So I would reach out to the goalie coaches. Maybe you're going to have to do some traveling, but maybe go and skate with them. I feel like a lot of times you're going to get a more honest and accurate kind of answer from a goalie coach than you will maybe from a head coach or a GM who just is kind of looking at everything kind of holistically. Where I think the goalie coach, if you go and skate, the goalie coach can kind of give you a hands-on right away response if he thinks you can play at that level, or if they're maybe want you to come and compete, or if he says maybe this team is looking for a tackle. So I think, yeah, definitely Jamie said networking, and Elvis said you're going to have to stand out. I think that's pretty much how it is. But yeah, you're going to have to put some work in. And also remember that it's a process. Being 17 years old, you still have 3 years of junior eligibility left. So maybe you don't jump into the junior A level. Maybe you play your junior C even, put up some numbers, get some games under your belt, move up to junior B as a 19-year-old, same thing, put up some big numbers, and then you might have an opportunity to play junior A and kind of pick where you go to based off of now having 2 years of playing maybe 20 to 25 games. So, anybody got anything else to add to that?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head with all, everyone hit the nail on the head their points.
All right, so hopefully that helps Josh. So another question we had, let me just look this up on my phone. This is a good question. I think this is going to create a little bit of a debate. NCAA or OHL? As a coach, what do you try to direct your players to and why? And do you have a preference? So, Jamie, I'll let you start on this, being a former NCAA Division I goalie, and then we'll move on to Elba.
Yeah, that is the question for goalies that are around that 15, 16, 17-year-old range. Obviously, I chose to go the NCAA route. I had an opportunity. I had several opportunities to go the OHL route. But basically, when I explain it to someone, there's a couple of things. How high were you drafted, or were you drafted in the OHL? That makes a big difference. If you're drafted in the first three rounds, chances are a team really wants you and they're going to play. Second, be, are you, it's, this is a tough one, but are you really good at your, that's age of 16 or 17? Cause if you're, you know, if you're the Connor McDavid of goaltending at that age, you can go to the O and you'll be fine and you'll get drafted to the NHL and things will work out. But, you know, if you maybe were undrafted and you're bouncing around and you're like, you're not as good, chances are you're not going to be able to put up a full career in the OHL and you might end up back in junior B. And then I guess the third would be, how are you in school? And if you are a person that really does not like school, or you struggle in school, or you just don't care, then the NCAA isn't going to be for you. The advantage of the NCAA is you can play junior A hockey for, you know, till you're 21, and that gives you a lot of time to develop. So if you're not that stud goaltender when you're 16, 17, you have a few more years to get as good as you can be, and that might be good enough for the NCAA. And then if you're smart enough, go to the NCAA, take advantage of the education. But yeah, those are my three things. Like, how good are you at the young age? How much, like, do you appreciate school? And,
are you ready to play?
Oh yeah. Are you ready to play? Tough one. I'll have to edit that one out.
Pavel?
Yeah, I mean, I'll lean on Jamie's experience there. He's actually been through it himself, so I don't have a whole lot more to add. The only thing I'll say is to be realistic with the situation that you're in. A lot of guys ask this question, but at the end of the day, not many guys have the choice between. I mean, only a select few guys are really that desirable where, you know, they've got multiple offers on the table from major, junior, and NCAA. So the most important thing, as far as I'm concerned, is to put in the work, the honest work, you know, on a daily basis with your goalie coach, with your nutrition, with the way you take care of your body off the ice. You put in that work, you're going to create opportunities for yourself. So don't really worry so much about NCAA, major, junior. Just worry about the work and, you know, the rest will take care of itself.
There's also, how many OHL teams are there? 25?
20.
There's 20 OHL teams with two goalies, where in the NCAA, there's 59 or 60 teams with three goalies. There is potentially more spots in the NCAA for a goalie than there are in the OHL. And it is very difficult, say, if you are from Ontario, to get, I mean, you're not going to get in the Western League if you're from Ontario. Or even it's difficult to get to the queue. So just those are things to keep in mind as well. It's a numbers game.
Yeah. My bias is definitely NCAA based. I think everybody who knows me knows that. I push NCAA. But at the end of the day, I think you're both dead on. It's definitely individual. Each goalie has to take their situation individual. I have a goalie this year who's an 04 draft who we expect to get drafted fairly high, who, is telling me that he's OHL only, OHL. I say, okay, well, let's just be patient and kind of see how that goes. There's nothing wrong with getting drafted to the OHL and as a 16-year-old playing junior B and kind of seeing how that path unfolds for yourself. You don't need to make decisions right away. For some guys, definitely the OHL is the better route for them. But I think for a lot of guys, the NCAA is definitely an awesome opportunity for them also. So, I would say don't close any doors, especially at 15 and 16 years old. Try to keep all doors and avenues open as long as you possibly can before you guys have to make a decision. Because at 15 years old, you don't have to make that choice right away. So, lean on the people around you, lean on your goalie coach, lean on your parents, lean on your advisor if you have an advisor, past coaches. Don't just make that decision that the OHL is for you because you're drafted. There's definitely multiple avenues that you can take to get to where you want to go, because at the end of the day, when we're 15 years old, we all want to play in the NHL, we play professional hockey. So there's more than one way to get there, so make sure you guys weigh out every option. Okay, next question. So this message comes from Ben Siernik. Do you think we are overdoing RVHs with younger goalies who aren't learning how to use an overlap appropriately? Albo?
Yeah. Simple answer is yeah. I think so. I'm not sure how you feel about it. I would tend to think that you guys would both agree, but from watching, you know, junior hockey is what I watch mostly, but I've seen a few minor hockey games here and there. And guys are using the RVH at will, whether or not they know how to properly execute it and when to properly deploy it. I mean, it's one thing to know how to do it. It's another thing to know when to use it. And when to use it is not as often as it's being used. I think the overlap and just general post play on your feet should be, you know, needs to come back in the game a little bit. I'm not suggesting a stand-up style, but I think RVH is a little too liberally used. And overlap, which is something that we've been focusing on as the season kind of winds down, it's incredibly useful. It can help you put you in the best spot, but at the end of the day, you've got to be able to read the play. You got to know hockey. You got to know the game. You got to feel the game in order to do what's right. And I think sometimes guys just default into RVH because it's comfortable or because somebody's told them to do it. But you know, there's definitely other moves out there that can get the job done better.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, it's knowing when to use the RVH and when not to, especially if you're a young goalie. Like if you're 10, 11, 12 and you're 5'3", 5'2", you going to an RVH is kind of pointless. It gives up the whole everything above your shoulder. I mean, I'm 6'4" and I go to RVH. There's still room above my shoulder. It's, I don't know, maybe because of Instagram, people just like it because it gets views and it looks cool, but just because Andre Vasilevsky and Sergei Bobrovsky, like the best goalies in the entire world, who are also monsters, sit in their RVH when the play is just in their zone, doesn't mean that you, who have at home, who is 6 foot and has the tightest hips in the world, needs to sit in the RVH on their post. You have to think, the RVH is a blocking save. It's a block. Like, yeah, you can hinge on it and you can adjust, but for the most part, it's a block. So why would you put yourself in a situation where you're stuck when you can hold your feet and then go in the RVH, or hold your feet and move in any direction and make any save from your feet? I think that's what gets lost, is people see these goalies, especially like the Russians and the Swedes that are really good at the RVH. They see them sitting in this RVH and they feel like, well, this is what I need to do. No, you have to know your game and you have to read the play too. I mean, if the puck's in the corner and the guy's back's facing you, he's not going to score. Get on your feet. Because if he dishes to the slot and you're on your knees and it's a backdoor tap in, you have a better chance of making that save pushing from your feet than your knees. It comes down to reading the play and just knowing your abilities, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think the RVH is a polarizing topic. I don't want to get too much into it. It's definitely a technique that isn't going to go away. Having said that, I do not teach it until somebody is going into minor bantam at the earliest. I've had students come for me that haven't been training for me and they're in Pee Wee and all they want to do is reverse. I don't do that. I won't teach it to a kid until he's in minor bantam. I've actually partnered up with Mass University to do a study on youth and juvenile arthritis, where we've put kids in MRIs and studied their hips over a course of 2 years. So I'm very much into preservation and looking into the future for all my athletes. So I'm very much on the, let's wait until the muscles around the hips are definitely strong enough to support that position. But it's a position that's not going away. And so, like Albo said, it's not so much how to do it. It's when, but more importantly, it's why. Why are you doing it? And if we can teach the kids why they want to do an RBH, I think we will definitely limit the amount of reps they're going to use with it, which hopefully over the course of their career protects them from themselves, basically. And when they're our age, they're still able to, you know, enjoy life and walk and without having to worry about FAI or any sort of hip problem. So, yeah, minor band is kind of my timeline to just begin teaching it. So that's kind of my stance on it. All right, got one more question left. This one comes from Keegan Jackson. How can I make up for not being a big goalie?
Patience. Well, if you're not, it's tough because goalies are getting bigger and you look at the trends and, you know, we're not going to sugarcoat it. You are at a disadvantage if you're not a big goalie. I know there are NHL teams, I won't name names, that will not sign goalies that are below 60. They just won't do it. Also, one of them, there are multiple teams that they will not sign it. So if you are not 6'3 or bigger, you need to do whatever you can to set yourself apart. And that means you need to be quicker on your feet. You need to have faster hands. You need to track better and you need to be more patient because big goalies are able, they're allowed to, you know, they're allowed to make mistakes because their size will bail them out a lot of times. If you're a smaller goalie, you can't afford those mistakes. So you have to be that much better than a bigger goalie. It's tough for me to say because I am a bigger goalie. So I had that little bit of advantage and I definitely used that advantage as much as I could. So I can't say too much, but from what I've seen and for the goalies I've coached, you need to be head over heels better than a bigger goalie.
What was that? Hands over what?
I don't know. Hands over feet, head over heels. Who knows? Just marbles in my mouth today.
Well, okay. The guys that play at a high level that are big are also very good, right? You can't take a guy who's 6'6 who can't play and put him at a high level and smash success. So that's number one. Let's not take anything away from the big guys because the guys that are 6'4 that play in the NHL or play college hockey or play in the OHL are also very skilled. So they've put the work in terms of guys, let's say 5'10 that are very good. They can still play at a very high level, but Jamie's right. They need to do things well. They need to track better. They need to have faster hands. They need to have faster feet, right? Those are the skills that are going to allow them to play at that higher level. But it's right. The bigger guy is going to fill more net. He's going to occupy more space. He's going to get away with more mistakes. But the smaller guy is going to have to do everything better to play at that same level. It doesn't mean you can't get to that level. Jamie's right. Like, at the end of the day, the NHL has a mold. They want guys 6'2", 6'4", that mold. But if you're 5'10", 5'11", that doesn't mean you can't have a career of playing professional hockey. It may not be in the NHL. It could be overseas. It could be in the minors. It could be anything. I don't think the end of the rainbow has to be the NHL. So if you're a guy who's 6', don't get discouraged and say, oh, I there's no reason for me to play because I'm not going to make the NHL. Number one, you don't know that. Number two, there's lots of leagues in the world that you can play. And number three is work on your skill set. Your skill set has to be better, but the thing about a skill set is it's very easily developed if you put in the time and the effort, right? You have an advantage over a guy who's 6'6 because they're going to have to put in more work in their feet to have the same type of feet as a guy who's 5'11. So you do have an advantage in some sets, in some circumstances where your skill set is maybe a little bit easier to develop than a bigger guy. But you got to put the work in, plain and simple.
Well, I look at a guy that we have in frequently who plays midget hockey in the Alliance, and he is not big at all, but his hands are lightning fast. His feet are extremely good. He's a really good skater. He's really patient. He knows the game really well. And, you know, he's by far one of my favorite goalies to train, one of my favorite goalies to watch. But you don't really notice his small stature because his ability to react is just so much better than everybody else's. Whether, you know, you're 5'9 or 6'3, the puck's still moving the same speed and you got to be able to react to it. And if you're 5'9 versus a 6'3 guy, you're automatically going to take up less space. So your hands have got to be quicker, your feet have got to be quicker, and you've got to increase your hockey IQ because, you know, we can only be in one spot, and your hockey IQ is going to be the main thing that puts you in position on the ice, because you're constantly reacting to things around you. So increase your hockey IQ, increase your reaction speed. And a lot of that is studying hockey and working on your game off the ice. So you might have to put in, you know, a little bit more work, but as Derek alluded to, the fact that you have to put in more work, it can be an advantage to you in the long run, because now you know the game better, you know your body better. Yeah, that's what I got. Yeah.
If you want to look at an example, you take the biggest goalie in the NHL, Ben Bishop. You take the smallest goalie in the NHL, UC Saros. They're both in the NHL. Now, I'm glad Avo brought up studying the game, because, you know, if you're a smaller goalie and you're looking for someone to emulate, look at a guy like UC Saros and compare him to the biggest goalie. What does he do that's better? What does he do better than Ben Bishop? And then if you look, you're like, well, they're both in the NHL, so they're both great goalies. You know, UC Saros is quicker. Then you go, okay, I gotta be speed. UC Saros is more flexible. Okay. Hand speed? I don't know. It's hard. I can't judge that, but maybe UC Saros tracks a little bit better than Ben Bishop. So try to find smaller goalies in NHL. Like Saros is unbelievable. I think he's one of the best goalies out there. Yeah. Regardless of his height. So, you know, kind of make comparisons that way. And also one last thing, if you're a small goalie, and someone tells you you need to challenge more to cut down the angle, it's so wrong. Just because you're small doesn't mean you need to come out. You need to know your game, know your abilities, know your speed and flexibility, and then judge it from there. There's no reason for you to be playing in the hash marks just because you're under 6 feet.
Another guy like Hrlak, too. Another guy who's 5'11", 6 foot mark. And Jimmy Howard, same type of thing. Something that they've done over their career, and they've been in the league for a long time, is they're consistent, right? Consistency trumps everything else. And I love the fact that Elbow brought up hockey IQ, because your ability to read the game and see the game in slow motion is what's going to allow you to be consistent. And me as a coach, if I'm coaching a team and I got a guy who's 6'3" and a guy who's 5'11", and I'm going into a playoff series, I'm not marking down my starting goalie based on height. I'm marking off my starting goalie on who's going to give me the best chance to win a 7-game series. And if that guy who's 5'11 is more consistent because he has the ability to see the game in slow motion, that's my number one goalie. So one thing I think Avil nailed it perfectly was there's a lot of time off right now. There's not many places you guys can't be skating. This is a great opportunity for you guys to watch NHL hockey games. Watch the game, learn the game, because the game is played basically repetitive. There's a lot of situations that repeat themselves over and over and over during the course of a game. And the game at the highest level, I don't want to say becomes predictable, because that's not right, but it becomes a little bit more routine. Things, you see things happen the same way over and over again. And that gives you the ability to kind of be reactive, but also be able to anticipate. So the more you guys have an understanding of how teams are going to attack you, the more opportunity you have to be able to see that game in slow motion. I have a goalie. He's a big guy. He's 6'4". I would say he's not the most athletic goalie in the world. We constantly are trying to work on his athleticism. We're trying to speed him up. He's got heavy feet, right? Guy's 6'4". He's got heavy feet. So in terms of what Jamie was saying about knowing your game, is we base his skill set based off of how he's going to play positional, but he sees the game in slow motion. It doesn't matter the situation. If there's a backdoor pass, the game is never taking him by surprise. So when you watch him play, you might not fall in love with his skill set, but at the end of the day, you look at his stats and he's won 11 games in a row. And you're like, how did he do this? It's because he's consistent and he has the ability to see the game in slow motion. So biggest thing a guy who's 5'11" can do, and Keegan Jackson asked this question. So Keegan, something for you for sure. Like, I know you're at home, you're not going to school. Watch NHL games, study the game, and develop that hockey IQ just like Elvis said, because he nailed it.
Pretty good. All right, that's pretty good. That's pretty good for the first installment.
That's not bad.